Welcome back, everybody. Today we're doing a deep dive into something pretty important, I think you'd agree, the concept of virtue. We'll be looking at it through the Book of Proverbs, chapters 10 through 29, guided by a lecture from Dr. Daniel J. Traer on virtuous character.
It's a great lecture.
It is. Now, you might be thinking, Proverbs, isn't that just like a bunch of wise sayings?
Right.
But trust me, there's a framework here for building a life of character. It's surprisingly relevant, even thousands of years later.
Absolutely.
And get this, even though the cardinal virtues, you know, prudence, temperance, fortitude, justice, even though those are rooted in Greek philosophy, they pop up all over the place in Proverbs.
Yeah, it is fascinating how these concepts transcend cultures and time periods.
Right.
And I think a lot of people do see Proverbs as this jumble of individual sayings.
Yeah.
But there's a real structure there. Chapters 10 to 29 build on the foundation of the first nine chapters, which present that choice between the path of wisdom leading to life and the path of folly leading to death.
Right. That two ways idea.
Exactly.
But then chapters 10 through 29 seem to go deeper, almost like they're giving us the tools to actually walk that path of wisdom.
Precisely. They offer practical guidance on cultivating virtues,
okay,
which are not just personality quirks you're born with.
Mm-hmm.
Think of them as developed dispositions, like internal compasses that shape how we think, feel, and act.
Okay.
Even when things get tough.
So not just traits, but skills you build.
Right.
And it's interesting that Proverbs, coming from a completely different tradition than the Greeks, still hits on those cardinal virtue.
Yep.
Let's start with prudence. Proverbs seems to put a lot of emphasis on that.
It does. But remember, prudence isn't about being a scaredy cat or overly cautious.
Right.
It's about making wise choices in specific situations.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to figure out what is truly good and then picking the right way to get there.
Okay.
For example, Proverbs 10.5 says, "A child who gathers in summer is prudent, but a child who sleeps in harvest brings shame."
So even something as simply as gathering firewood or like stocking up on supplies for winter, that can be an act of prudence.
Exactly. And it extends to bigger decisions too. Proverbs constantly highlights the importance of listening before you speak.
Yeah.
Like Proverbs 18.13, "If one gives an answer before hearing it, is folly and shame."
Which, in our world of instant opinions and social media hot takes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one.
It is. And it leads to some interesting paradoxes. Like in Proverbs 26.4-5,
okay,
we get seemingly opposite advice about answering fools.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you should, sometimes you shouldn't.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile that?
That's where I get tripped up. It's like, how do I know when to speak up and when to hold back?
That's where the nuanced understanding of prudence comes in.
Okay.
It's about recognizing that different situations call for different responses.
Uh-huh.
A prudent person develops the wisdom to know when to speak, when to stay silent,
right,
and how to tailor their approach to each specific situation.
So it's almost like a judgment call based on the context.
Exactly. It's not a one-size-fits-all rule.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's move on to justice. How does Proverbs connect this to living a righteous life?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to go beyond just following the law.
Right. Proverbs emphasizes that true righteousness starts in the heart. It's about aligning our intentions with God's will, not just putting on a good show.
Okay.
Proverbs 20.27 puts it this way. "The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord, searching every innermost part."
So it's not enough to just look good on the outside.
Exactly. And this concern for inner righteousness flows into how Proverbs views justice in society.
Okay.
There are constant warnings against getting rich through shady means or exploiting those who are vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 11.18 states, "The wicked earn no real gain, but those who sow righteousness get a true reward."
It's a reminder that true justice benefits everyone.
Yeah.
Not just those at the top.
Precisely. It's about fairness, equity, and looking out for those who are often marginalized or overlooked.
Okay, let's tackle fortitude. This one feels especially relevant given all the challenges people face today.
Yeah, fortitude is that blend of courage and patience that helps us endure trials and keep pursuing what's good, even when it's hard.
Okay.
It's facing our fears and not giving up when things get tough.
But Proverbs isn't all toughen up, buttercup, is it?
Right.
Because there are also verses about seeking support.
Absolutely. Proverbs 17.17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and kinfolk are born to share adversity."
Mm-hmm.
It recognizes our need for others.
Right.
Having people who support us, encourage us, and help us carry our burdens is crucial.
So it's not about going it alone, but recognizing when we need help.
Exactly. Fortitude is about knowing our limits and relying on others when necessary.
Okay.
And it also has a social dimension. Proverbs 24.10-12 talks about the responsibility to help those in danger.
Okay.
However, it's not a call to reckless heroism.
Right.
Prudence and justice come into play here, too.
So there's a balance between courage and wisdom in how we help others. That makes sense. Finally, let's talk about temperance.
Temperance is all about moderation, self-control, finding balance in how we use the good things in life.
I love the imagery in Proverbs 25.28 on this. Like, a city breached without walls is one who lacks self-control.
Yeah.
It's like, without temperance, we're vulnerable to all sorts of attacks.
Right? Yes, that's a powerful image. It highlights the importance of setting boundaries and not letting our desires control us.
So we've covered the cardinal virtues, but there's another category in Proverbs that's directly tied to our relationship with God, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. I'm curious, how do these fit into the framework we've been discussing?
These virtues go beyond human effort. They flow from God's grace and lead us into a deeper relationship with Him.
So even though Proverbs doesn't use the word faith explicitly,
right,
it still emphasizes the importance of trust all in God.
Yes, and a key part of that trust is the fear of the Lord.
Okay.
Proverbs 16.6 beautifully connects them. By loyalty and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one avoids evil. It's not just about acknowledging God exists, but having that reverential awe that shapes our choices.
So it's a deeper kind of trust than just believing in something. It's a trust that impacts how we actually live.
Exactly. And this fear of the Lord is closely tied to humility.
Okay.
Proverbs 15.33 says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility goes before honor." True faith recognizes our dependence on God and leads us to seek His guidance. It's a different perspective than the self-reliance that our culture often promotes.
That's a really interesting distinction. So where does hope fit in?
Proverbs present hope as this confident expectation of God's blessing for those who follow His ways.
Okay.
Proverbs 10.28 contrasts it. "The hope of the righteous ends in gladness, but the expectation of the wicked comes to nothing."
It's like saying that true hope is grounded in something solid, not just wishful thinking.
Exactly. And while Proverbs focuses mostly on blessings in this life, there are hints at future promises, too.
Okay. And what about charity? I feel like that's often misunderstood as just giving money to the poor.
Yeah, charity in Proverbs is so much broader. It's a disposition of love and mercy that impacts all parts of our lives. We see examples of generosity, compassion for those in need. Even care for animals.
Wow.
And a real push for reconciliation. Proverbs 19.17 puts it beautifully. "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in the full."
So acts of charity are ultimately acts of service to God.
Yes. They flow from our love for Him and reflect His heart for the vulnerable.
Now, Dr. Trier makes a distinction in his lecture between what he calls partial and holistic virtue. What's he getting at there?
He's pointing out that while non-believers can grasp some aspects of virtue through natural law or common grace, true complete virtue requires something more.
Okay, that's fascinating. So it's like having the basic understanding of right and wrong, but there's a deeper level that's tied to faith.
Exactly. Proverbs emphasizes that the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom.
Okay.
And it's through a relationship with God that these virtues can truly flourish. There's a transformation that happens when we connect our pursuit of virtue to our faith.
So it's not just about being a good person in a general sense, but about aligning our lives with God's character.
Precisely. And that's where the concept of holistic virtue comes in.
This has been incredibly eye-opening. It's like I'm seeing Proverbs in a whole new light, but it also raises a lot of questions for me about how these virtues actually play out in our lives today.
That's a great point.
It's one thing to admire these virtues in theory, but another to live them out in the midst of all the complexities of modern life.
Exactly. So how do we bridge that gap? Well, let's dive into some of those complexities in part two of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork, but now I'm really curious about the practical side of this. How do we actually cultivate these virtues in our everyday lives? Because let's face it, our world is pretty different from the one Proverbs was written in.
It is. And yet, the human condition remains remarkably consistent.
Right.
Proverbs offers a wealth of practical advice that transcends cultural and historical boundaries.
Okay.
What's fascinating here is that it doesn't just tell us what to do, but it helps us understand why these virtues matter, connecting our actions to our character and ultimately to our relationship with God.
So it's not just about following rules, but about understanding the deeper principles behind them.
Exactly. And that understanding is key to applying these principles in our modern context. Let's consider some specific examples. We've talked about prudence in decision-making, but Proverbs also highlights its importance in communication.
Oh, absolutely. Proverbs 15.23 comes to mind. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. It's about choosing our words carefully.
Right.
And speaking at the right time, something I think we could all use a little more of in our world of instant communication.
Yes. And Proverbs also cautions against hasty or foolish speech. Proverbs 29.20 states, "Do you see someone who is hasty in speech? There is more hope for a fool than for anyone like that." Our words have incredible power to build up or tear down. Cultivating prudence in how we communicate, especially online, is so important.
It makes you realize how much intentionality it takes to really live out these virtues.
Right.
It's not just about knowing what they are, but about actively shaping our thoughts, words, and actions.
Precisely. And that intentionality is crucial when it comes to relationships as well. Proverbs consistently emphasizes the importance of strong families, loyal friendships, treating others with respect and kindness.
It's like that verse in Proverbs 18.24. "Some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin." That really speaks to the value of having people in our lives who truly support us,
right,
encourage us, and even challenge us to grow.
Yes. And those kinds of relationships are so important for cultivating virtue.
Mm-hmm.
We need people who can speak truth into our lives, hold us accountable, and help us stay on the path of wisdom.
And of course, Proverbs has a lot to say about marriage and family. It stresses the importance of faithfulness, mutual respect, and raising children in the ways of wisdom.
What I find interesting is that Proverbs doesn't present an idealized view of family life. It acknowledges that there will be conflicts, disagreements, challenges, but it offers guidance on how to navigate those difficulties in a way that honors God and strengthens relationships.
So it's more realistic, more grounded in the reality of human experience.
Yes. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Proverbs. It doesn't shy away from the messiness of life. It acknowledges human weakness and the tendency toward folly. But it doesn't leave us there. It offers hope by pointing us towards the transforming power of wisdom and the grace of God.
So it's not about being perfect, but about recognizing our flaws, seeking guidance, and striving to grow in virtue. I guess that's where this idea of the process comes in.
Yeah.
How do we actually go about developing these qualities in a way that sticks?
That's where the practical wisdom of Proverbs really shines. It's not just a theoretical treatise on ethics.
Right.
It's a guidebook for daily living. It offers a wealth of concrete strategies and practices that we can implement in our routines.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, Proverbs emphasizes the importance of seeking out wise counsel.
Okay.
We need to surround ourselves with people who can offer sound advice, challenge our assumptions, and help us see things from different perspectives.
It's like Proverbs 11.14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." Recognizing that we don't have all the answers and being willing to learn from others is crucial. What about discipline? That seems to be a recurring theme in Proverbs.
Absolutely. Proverbs 16.32 captures this beautifully. "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city."
Mm-hmm.
It's about learning to master our impulses and emotions so that we can make wise choices even under pressure.
So it's about self-control, but also about channeling our energy and passions in productive ways.
Exactly. And this connects to another important practice, reflection and self-examination. Proverbs encourages us to regularly take stock of our lives.
Okay.
And consider whether our actions are aligned with the path of wisdom.
It's about being honest with ourselves, recognizing our strengths and weaknesses, and seeking to grow in areas where we need improvement.
Yes, and that requires a willingness to be vulnerable, to admit when we've messed up, and to seek forgiveness and reconciliation.
Okay, so seeking wise counsel, practicing discipline, reflecting on our choices, those are all great starting points. But I'm wondering, are there any specific challenges that people might face in trying to live out these virtues in our modern world? It seems like there are so many distractions and pressures that pull us away from the path of wisdom.
You're right. It's not always easy to apply these ancient principles in our fast-paced, technology-driven culture. One of the biggest challenges is the constant bombardment of information and stimulation.
Yeah.
It's hard to slow down, be present, and make deliberate choices when we're constantly being pulled in different directions.
It's like we're living in a perpetual state of distraction.
Exactly. And that makes it difficult to cultivate virtues like patience, temperance, and prudence, which require a more deliberate and thoughtful approach.
I can definitely relate to that. It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness and lose sight of what truly matters.
Another challenge is the emphasis on individualism in our society. It can be tempting to prioritize our own needs and desires above the good of others.
Right.
Which can lead to a lack of empathy and compassion.
It's like we're constantly being told to look out for number one.
But Proverbs reminds us that we are part of a community and our actions have consequences for those around us. Virtues like justice, charity, and humility call us to consider the well-being of others and to act in ways that promote harmony and peace.
It's a reminder that we're not isolated individuals, but interconnected beings.
Exactly. And that interconnectedness is at the heart of what it means to live a virtuous life.
Okay, so we've identified some of the hurdles. Now, how do we overcome these challenges and make these ancient virtues relevant in our modern lives? It seems like a daunting task.
It is, but not impossible. And Proverbs offers some helpful guidance. Firstly, we need to be intentional about creating space for reflection and silence in our lives, whether it's through prayer, meditation, or simply spending time in nature. We need to disconnect from the noise and reconnect with ourselves and with God.
It's about intentionally choosing to step off the treadmill of busyness and make time for stillness and contemplation.
Yes, and that stillness allows us to hear that inner voice of wisdom, to discern what is truly important, and to align our actions with our values.
That makes sense. What else can we do?
Secondly, we need to be mindful of the company we keep up front. Proverbs encourages us to cultivate deep and meaningful connections with people who will support us in our pursuit of virtue.
So surrounding ourselves with a community that shares our values and encourages us to grow in wisdom and character.
Exactly. We need people who will challenge us when we're wrong, encourage us when we're discouraged, and celebrate our victories along the way. These kinds of relationships are vital for our spiritual and emotional well-being.
That's so true. I think about the people in my life who have helped me become a better person, and I'm so grateful for their influence.
And finally, and perhaps most importantly, we need to be willing to challenge the prevailing cultural narratives that contradict the wisdom of Proverbs. It takes courage to stand up for what's right, even when it's unpopular.
It's about being countercultural in a way that reflects the values of the kingdom of God rather than the values of the world.
Yes. And that can be a difficult and lonely road at times, but it's a road worth taking.
I appreciate you highlighting these challenges. It's easy to get discouraged when we feel like we're swimming upstream against the current of our culture, but it's also encouraging to know that we're not alone in this struggle.
You're absolutely right, and that's where the transforming power of faith and the grace of God come in. We don't have to do this on our own strength. We have a God who loves us, guides us, and empowers us to live lives that are pleasing to Him.
This has been such a thought-provoking conversation. I feel like I'm starting to see how these ancient virtues can actually be lived out in practical ways in our modern world.
And I think that's the beauty of Proverbs. It offers timeless wisdom that speaks to the deepest longings of the human heart, regardless of time or place.
It's a reminder that even in the midst of a fast-paced, ever-changing world, we can find guidance and hope in the unchanging principles of God's Word.
Absolutely. And that's a message we all need to hear.
You know, as we've been talking about these virtues, I've been struck by how interconnected they are. It's not like we can just pick and choose the ones we like or, you know, find easiest to develop.
Right. That's a great observation. It really gets to the heart of what virtue is all about. It's not about isolated qualities, but about developing a holistic character.
Yeah.
Where these virtues work together, supporting and reinforcing each other.
It's like a tapestry. You know, each thread contributes to the overall beauty and strength of the fabric.
I love that analogy. And that's why Proverbs emphasizes the fear of the Lord as the foundation for all the virtues. It's the guiding principle that brings everything into alignment.
Which brings us back to Dr. Troy's point about partial versus holistic virtue. He suggests that even non-believers can develop a partial understanding of virtue, mm-hmm. but true, complete virtue requires the transforming grace of God.
Yeah, it's not that non-believers can't be moral or live good lives, but Proverbs suggests that there's a limit to what we can achieve through human effort alone.
Right.
We need something more.
Like trying to bake a cake without all the ingredients. You might end up with something edible.
Right.
But it won't be the masterpiece you envisioned.
That's a perfect analogy. That missing ingredient is God's grace, which empowers us to live out these virtues in a way that transcends our own limited abilities.
So it's not about becoming morally superior to others, but about recognizing our need for God's help and allowing His grace to work in and through us.
Mm-hmm.
And that transformation is an ongoing process. Proverbs reminds us that we're all works in progress and encourages us to keep striving toward a life that reflects God's goodness.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Exactly. And that journey requires humility, perseverance, and a willingness to learn from our mistakes.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the journey, I'm curious about how Proverbs addresses the tension between grace and works. It seems like there's this delicate balance between recognizing our need for God's grace and the responsibility we have to actively cultivate virtue in our lives.
That's a question that has been debated for centuries. And Proverbs doesn't offer a simplistic answer.
Right.
It emphasizes both the sovereignty of God and the importance of human effort.
So it's not an either-or proposition. It's a both-and.
Yes. And I think that reflects the paradox of the Christian life. We are saved by grace through faith, but that faith should be evident in our actions and our pursuit of holiness.
It's like two sides of the same coin.
Precisely. Grace empowers us to live virtuous lives.
Yeah.
And our pursuit of virtue is a response to that grace.
This has been such an enriching deep dive into the wisdom of Proverbs. I feel like I have a renewed appreciation for the practicality and relevance of these ancient teachings.
What's so compelling is that Proverbs connects this pursuit of virtue to the ultimate source of goodness and wisdom, God Himself.
Yeah, it's a reminder that we're not alone on this journey. We have a God who loves us, guides us, and empowers us to become the best versions of ourselves.
And that's a message of hope that we can all cling to.
Well, folks, that's our deep dive into the virtues as explored in the book of Proverbs. We've covered a lot of ground today, but I hope it sparked some new insights and inspired you to consider how these timeless principles can shape your own life.
I second that. It's been a pleasure exploring these ideas with you.
And remember, Dr. Traer left us to a challenging question. What practices or relationships in your life help you stay on the path of virtue? That's something worth reflecting on, isn't it? Until next time, keep seeking knowledge, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.